Welcome to SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada, Scott Jackson. Of course, Mike, the editor of SB Nation DC, also a man who takes care of business with Bullets Forever. And, of course, I don't know what I do. I talk on the radio, and I also write a weekly column for SB Nation.
What do you do? I take care of business, and you... What do you do? Do you take care of business, too, or do you kind of let the business sit on the side and kind of deal with it, you know, have the business take care of itself?
Or the business takes care of me sometimes.
Who knows how that works.
You
can say it that way. It's like if you teach a man to take care of business, you know, or teach a man to fish, or he can get fish for life. I botched that so
badly. Well, that's okay. Nice try, though.
I did not take care of business there.
No, you did not. You can follow us at SB Nation Radio and, of course, like us on Facebook because, darn it, we need it. So that would be nice as well. But let's dive into it. We're going to talk some bracketology coming up here in a few moments with Steve Yonda from the Washington Post. Certainly the numbers do not look good at all for Maryland. They're not even in the conversation. As a matter of fact, at this present time, they need to win the ACC tournament. I think we can all agree upon that to get into the tournament. But I was thinking about this week, Mike, as I watched commercials roll on Comcast Sportsnet this week for Maryland-NC State tickets Sunday.
Really?
I was just blown away.
I didn't see those.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And this is the game that Grievous Vasquez's jersey is going to be retired.
That's kind of important.
Wow. That's incredible.
It is amazing, and I've had friends that have told me that have Maryland season tickets in football that they've been getting hit up this year for ticket pitches, different specials to get tickets to games this year for basketball, and it just kind of blows me away. And I started thinking about this is something I've been thinking about for a while. I mean, has there been a program in the last decade that has won a national championship in basketball that's gotten less out of it or has fallen further than Maryland? I mean, I don't think there clearly isn't. I mean, when you think about where they were and to where they are now, it is kind of astonishing.
But, you know, it's also not just the basketball team. You know, it's the entire athletic program. One year before they won the title in basketball was when it was Ralph Regan's first year when they won the ACC title and went to the Orange Bowl. And now you see them botching a coaching search and then botching the defensive coordinator search, where one minute they're rumored to get former Miami coach Randy Shannon,
the next minute
they're pulling a Jim Zorn move and promoting the inside linebackers coach they hired, you know, that was at Southern Miss. Like, at what point did this kind of all kind of happen? Like, when did Maryland kind of fall off? Because at the beginning of the decade, even in the couple of years after the ACC title and the national championship, it was still a rising program. At what point did the entire program really start to go downhill? I can't figure out a moment where that happened. Like, you can't really blame it at anybody.
Yeah, it just kind of unraveled on its own and in different ways. I mean, certainly recruiting classes, and there were some, you know, very highly touted at the time classes that Ralph Regan appeared to have, and then, of course, players become ineligible, and, you know, those things unravel. Certainly Gary had the same thing with basketball, and then the controversy between him and Debbie Yao about, you know, was this player allowed in or not? Was he stopped on the recruiting trail about bringing in certain players? Of course, the whole Stevenson debacle, we know about that. And you just, you know, those little things, and I know it'd be the easy person to blame would be Debbie Yao because she's not at Maryland anymore.
Right.
That'd be the easy person to blame on some of these things. But at the same time, I think you do have to look at each program individually and say, all right, you know, certainly recruiting is the biggest issue all Maryland's fans seem to have, whether you're talking football or basketball with the programs.
Well, so then it's not really program specific. It's both. Because with basketball, I think what happened is that first class after they won the title was one of those, like, well, they go after the high-ranking guys. You know, all these guys, I mean, Travis Garrison, I believe, was in the McDonald's game, or maybe I'm wrong. But all these guys were highly touted.
Mike Jones was highly touted.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are highly touted.
Peter Medley was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how highly touted he was.
He was highly touted.
Was he? All right, well, okay, but still, but all these guys were highly touted rankings guys that didn't necessarily fit how Gary wanted to build his team. Because if you remember, the national title game team was like the first team ever that did not have a McDonald's All-American on the roster.
Right.
And then he kind of played the rankings game, and it didn't really turn out that well for him. A lot of these guys were disappointments. They weren't good fits at this program. And it almost feels like Gary has gone all the way back the other way, where you could do that maybe when he was a little younger and when college basketball was a little different. They didn't have the one-and-done rule, but you can't really do that now. And I think there's a serious lack of talent and at the guard position for the Terps this year compared to where a lot of other top programs are. They're not bad players, but they're just not as good as some of these other, maybe not non-ACC programs, you know, guys, teams that have won a title. And I think that there was like almost a little backlash from the Gary and everybody else when those guys failed after the title.
Well, and there's also the feeling with both, you know, Gary and with Ralph Regan, who's now departed, you know, pushed out the door unceremoniously this year, that neither one of them did a good enough job protecting their backyard. And which then maybe makes you ask the question, is that then on the university? Is there something the university doesn't do to appeal to local athletes to say, you know what, I'd like to stay here and play like they do in other states, you know? And what is it about the university that it's lacking that's, you know, wants guys to say, okay, I'm going to play here? Is it the fan support?
I don't know. It shouldn't be. Remember how big Maryland was at the beginning of the decade?
Well, you're talking about basketball.
I mean, even football, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
not okay.
Okay, but comparatively speaking, it was better when they were good. Like, there was a chance to capitalize on buzz.
Yeah, but it's not exactly known for, hey, you got to go to College Park and tailgate on Saturday. It's an amazing experience. I mean, compared to, you know, just going south, certainly, you know, Blacksburg to Virginia Tech. And, of course, a lot of that started because of the winning. And then you look at, you know, certainly Clemson's always had a great fan base and a following. They have an SEC following and an ACC resume.
Right.
And a below-average ACC resume at that. I mean, it's been 30 years since they've done anything of any significance in football. But, you know, you just go, you know, throughout the, you know, the conference. And of course, the problem that Penn State's not too far from here. We've gone through that many, you know, for many years. They've been dealing with that, but you know, it's just never really had that rep. And yeah, it seemed like they could seize the moment after that ACC championship, and it never materialized. The building never took place the way they wanted. I'm sure, you know, guys in that program point to a million different reasons, but you know, that's kind of unraveled. And certainly the basketball, as you just pointed out, landed out with all the different things that have happened there, and you just wonder, you know, what it is they have to do, and is Kevin Anderson the right guy to lead them as a school to do that?
So far, I don't know if he's really shown himself very well. Yeah. Although you never know exactly what his involvement is with, say, the defensive coordinator and all that stuff. But the other really concerning thing, at least from a basketball standpoint, is that you have more schools coming in since the title and poaching players. Even like Georgetown's entire team is like the All-Met team from like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you have local guys like Kevin Durant, Rudy Gay, that don't even – I mean, I guess Rudy considered Maryland, but these guys are being poached by national schools that weren't necessarily there. I mean, 10 years ago, was Texas recruiting this area, for example?
Yeah, I mean, Rick Barnes, he came in, and I mean, that's an amazing pull. There's no doubt about
it.
Look, D.C. area has always been really good for basketball. People know that football, it's not as heralded, but there have been some big hits. Obviously, you know, Illinois raided the area a few years back. Penn State as well, you know, has always had a good grab on it. You know, and Virginia Tech's grabbed their fair share of players from this area. But it is a little frustrating, I'm sure, for fans, when you see local guys' names, you're like, well, wait a minute, why couldn't they have gone, you know, what, in our backyard? But at the same time, I mean, you got to also look at the rosters of all the – it's not like, you know, all the teams that are successful are all a bunch of homegrown guys necessarily.
No,
in other
true.
Sports, you know, it's not always that way. You know, you do pull from different parts of the country. Now, granted, in football, you know, the Florida Gators got a lot of guys from Florida.
Right.
I mean, you know,
the other thing
that kind of goes to the part, you know, it's kind of goes for it because that's where the best players are.
Right, and in basketball, this is where a lot of the best players are.
Yeah.
And I think increasingly in football, too, this is where a lot of the best players are. So while you want guys from all over the place, this is a hotbed. This is not like the middle of nowhere where there's just not that many people there. And
sure.
Like, you know, there are a lot of really good players in both sports here that Maryland is missing on getting. And that's a big deal because it's a big basketball area. It's getting to be a bigger football area. And I guess my question now is, now that we think about it, like, we know that there's a problem. I mean, clearly with the way both these teams are, with the lack of buzz, all that, there's clearly a problem. What's the solution?
Well, I think part of the problem is already built in that you can't overcome, which is it is a pro sports market.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're talking about schools like Texas and, you know, schools like Alabama and Auburn who have pulled players from here recently, you know, and certainly the other major colleges, they're in college markets. You know, Penn State, College Station, that's all you go there for. There's no other reason to – not College Station, excuse me, Happy Valley.
Yeah.
There's no other reason to go there outside of college, you know, go to see a Penn State game. In Blacksburg, there's the only reason to go there. I mean, that's the thing that you can never overcome. No matter how great these teams are, let's face it, even when Maryland was, you know, was winning the national championship. It took them to win the national championship, go to Final Four of the year four, to get on the front page of the Washington Post and the Baltimore Sun all the time.
Right.
You know, compared to other places where that's the only game in town, these college towns per se. And I think that's a thing that they're always going to have to fight against.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, nobody is going to poison any trees around here.
No, I don't
think. Over a rivalry.
Well, that's not a terrible thing, by the way, necessarily.
But no, that is a good point, though, right. Is that it's a pro sports market. But I do think that they have succeeded given this pro sports market before, and now they're not succeeding. And so I wonder, what were they doing 10 years ago that was working?
I think it's just the perfect storm with the recruits and the right people. And, yeah, you had a coach that and you still do have a coach that is very good at what he does. The problem is now in college basketball, it's just so spread out. The ACC membership doesn't get you what it used to necessarily. The Big East is this monster now in basketball, too, which has taken away some of the effect of the ACC. There's a lot of things. I mean, I think you got to look staff-wise at what they do recruiting. You know, that's where they really got to roll up their sleeves and get it right as far as basketball is concerned. And certainly, you know, Randy Edsall is going to deal with that with football as well. And that's what it boils down to, too.
I mean, maybe they need to switch conferences. There was a lot of talk about Maryland going to the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed at this point. I think the Big Ten's where they are. It was an interesting, you know, predicament at the time. But, you know, I don't think there was enough support of it, although I think it would have been kind of a cool move, more so for football than basketball. But I think that's ship sailed, and they're going to stick it out in the ACC. And the ACC may get bigger at some point. Let's face it, someday the ACC and the Big East may actually join forces.
Yeah, we might have the big East Coast and then the big West Coast. We
exactly.
Have two
it
big
may just
conferences.
Be two conferences in the end, the way college sports are going. It's SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Pradom, Scott Jackson. But, yeah, I mean, that's really the way it's going right now with college sports. In the final couple minutes here before we get to Steven Yonda from The Washington Post and talk some bracketology, Nationals, you know, pitchers and catchers report this week. Certainly not as crazy a situation to say with St. Louis and Albert Pujols, but Steven Strasburg participating in his first workout since Tommy John surgery, throwing for 15 minutes on schedule, you know, and has been ahead of schedule throughout this process. You know, certainly has got to be a good sign for the Nationals to come into a season where, yeah, they're probably not going to win the division or even be a wild card team, but they're certainly, I think the expectations have to be higher, Mike, that this team's going to at least be more competitive this season.
And it's also a good chance for them to capture. I thought they missed their chance last year to capture the city a little bit with Strasburg buzz. And now that all the other teams have kind of struggled and that they are going to be the only game in town for a while, I think it's another good chance. But I don't know if they're going to be able to do it because even as Strasburg recovers, even at his most optimistic, he's going to come back in September. And I think at that point it's too late. I think you just got to let him sit out the season and get better for the next year. What is interesting, though, is that clearly with the Jason Worth contract, they're trying to become more of a better – like they're trying to get better. They're trying to spend more money. And there have been talks that they're in the Pujols chase, which I think would be an interesting – kind of thing that dominates the whole season in baseball and around here too.
We're going to get federal money for that, right? I mean, is that part of that? Is like there's some type of deal with Obama that he's going to kick in some money, you know, federal wise?
He's got to abandon his White Sox.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him the monument too. The Washington Monument's going to be named after Albert Pujols if he comes here. There's a lot of. The money is silly that they're talking about, and really could the Nats pull that off? They're going to try, and the fact that they're in the conversation, I would say, is progress. But, you know, at the same time, if this guy really is serious about winning more World Series in his career, he's already won one.
Right.
I don't know if that's really the smartest move on his part.
Plus, are they really in the conversation? Or are they like the team that is sort of – that wants to make it seem like they're in the conversation but isn't actually in the conversation?
Well, we get to talk about it all year, and it's going to be the LeBron-type James tour for Albert Pujols, although he's not going to do a TV show, he said yesterday, which is good. But I think it's going to be one of those years, no matter what city he goes to, you're going to see Albert Pujols picture photoshopped with that uniform on, and he's going to have to answer those questions all year long, and that's going to be the big story in baseball, maybe the big story in sports for that matter, especially with what the NFL's not doing at this time. All right, Steven Yonda's coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater with you here on 106.7 The Fan.